لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So for those who are joining via the teleconference, if they can put themselves on mute, that would save the rest of the attendees from some of the background noise. Inshallah. Ibn Abi Mulaika, he narrates that he had met 30 of the Sahaba. Imagine, 30 of the Sahaba. And he said that I have not met one except they used to fear upon themselves nifaq, except they used to fear hypocrisy upon their own selves. The likes of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, that individual whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that were there to be a prophet after me, it would have been Umar. لو كان نبي بعد لكان عمر أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This person is going to Huzaifa رضي الله تعالى عن أصحاب السر, the keeper of the secrets of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he used to have a registrar in which the names of the munafiqeen were registered and documented. And he came to Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala an, he said that, Ya Huzaifa, I know that you can't tell me who's in the registrar. I know you can't tell me who's in the book. But just let me know, is Umar in there? Is Umar on the list? Right? And sometimes it's very difficult, right, for people who are so full of fault, so blemished as our own selves, to understand how can people who are so righteous, be so concerned about hypocrisy, right? They're the very epitome of hypocrisy. And so then people start developing doubts. Maybe they weren't so righteous. Maybe, you know, alhamdulillah, I don't have that, you know, but I don't know. And things don't start making sense, and then they get confused. And I think one of the best answers in this regard is what Hasan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, said. He said that none fear it except for the believer, and none are safe from it except for the hypocrite. Right? So if you are afraid of it, that's a sign of your iman. Right? And if you're not afraid of it, if you feel that you feel that you're secure from nifaq, right? Then that in itself is a sign that hypocrisy lurks somewhere within. Right? That itself is, as the saying goes, there was three people who were sitting on a bench, a park bench. Two of them were non-Muslim, and one of them was Muslim. Right? So the story goes. It's probably not true, but it's amusing. And so one of them says that, oh, I live in Lanchester, and there's only 5% Muslims there. And then the next person says, well, I live in Berkshire, and there's only 1% Muslims there. And then the Muslim, he turns around to both of them, and he says, well, why don't you both of you go to, and he uses the word fire, right? But he uses a four-letter word instead, right? There's no Muslims there, right? And so while it's maybe funny, right, and it seems, it is amusing, but many Muslims have that mentality, right? They have this aman, this fence of security, that we're all right, right? We're complacent. You know, they were holding a conference in one city of the United States, and they were holding the conference was about, you know, the keys to paradise, how to get into Jannah, so on and so forth. And, you know, later on there was a general body meeting, and one of the people stood up and he says, you know, why you guys hold conferences about, you know, getting into paradise? We're all going there anyway, right? Why don't you do something practical? Right? When it's very clear from hadith that there are Muslims who are going to burn in the fire. Right? Very clear. The Jahannamiyin, people who the angels will recognize only by the mark of prostration, because the fire will have burnt and eaten up the rest of their flesh. And literally they will have to be pulled out of the fire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them into the river of life. Right? And He'll put them in the river of life, and they shall come back to life the way that a seed sprouts after a torrential rain, right? In the sod and sediment that is left behind. So very clear that Muslims, so while many Muslims walk around with impunity, right, with this feeling of, I have this force field around me that will never allow the fire of Jahannam to touch me, right? At the very same time, those who are righteous, our righteous predecessors, you know, and best exemplified by the Sahaba, Rizwanullah ta'ala, alayhim ajma'in, were very scared. Very scared of nifaq. I mean, even look in the next generation, you know, Imam Ahmad, radiallahu ta'ala, rahmatullah alayhi, when it was coming time for him to pass away, right, he was passing away, from time to time, he would be saying, La, La, La. And people were getting scared, right? I mean, this was a person, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi, that it is said about him that he had memorized 1 million ahadith. 1 million ahadith. He is the founder of one of the major schools of thought that have been followed in this ummah throughout time, right? I mean, this was, in this country, this was no small potato, right? This was a stalwart. Right, a stalwart of Islam, and in the, when he's passing away, he's saying la la, right? He would say it from time to time, and so people became perplexed. They couldn't understand why is he saying la la. Maybe, and you know, someone might have been thinking that, you know, for some reason he can't pronounce the kalima, he can't say la ilaha illallah, and so. And then, if it was like people like us, they said, oh, you know, this person, he lived his whole life to like thinking he was so pious. Now his haqiqah, his reality is coming out. And that's how people in this day and age think. But the reality of the matter, right? The reality of the matter was that Shaitan had come to him at his final moments. And he was saying that you are, you know, so fortunate that you are leaving this life in a state of iman. And what he was telling Shaitan was, he was telling him, la, no. Right, meaning that there's no safety until I breathe my last that I have left with iman. Right, innahu lakum aduun fattakhidhu aduwa. Indeed, he is an apparent, a stark, an open enemy to you. So take him as an enemy. Right, these were people who did not play games. Right, they were always worried about themselves. They were worried about their internal state. Now, this thing called nifaq, you know, many people, sometimes they get confused, because then they say that, oh, I don't have nifaq inside me. Nifaq are those people who, you know, about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, you know, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. That, you know, these munafiqeen, they come to you, right? They say that you're the messenger of God, right? You're His messenger. Right? Wallahu ya'lamu innaka al-rasul. Allah already knows that you're His messenger. Right? Wallahu yashhadu, and Allah Himself bears witness. Right? That these munafiqeen, these hypocrites, are, lying. Right? They're liars. So basically, these are people who used to live in the time of Rasulullah. They used to openly profess Islam. But within, they used to hide kufr. So generally, Muslims say that, well, that's not me. Right? May Allah save us from that. But understand that there are two types of nifaq. One type is what they call nifaqi akbar or nifaqi i'tiqadi, right? And the other one is what we call nifaqi asghar or nifaqi amali. Nifaqi akbar, right? The greater hypocrisy or the greatest hypocrisy is that hypocrisy which lies in the realm of belief. If a person says, you know, and openly just to sort of fit in or to, you know, achieve some ulterior gains or material gain, with some ulterior motive, he says that, oh, I believe in Allah and His Messenger and all the books, and he, on the surface, he tries to put up as if he's a Muslim, but inside he's a kafir, right? And he harbors that evil within. That is about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Indeed, the hypocrites are in the lowest level of Jahannam. The lowest level of Jahannam. But at the other, at the same time, there's a different type of nifaq, right? There's a different type of nifaq, which is what we call nifaqi amali. That there's hypocrisy in action. Imam Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayhi. I mean, we're talking about the Salaf here, right? For Tabi'een. He used to say, how beautifully he explained it. He said that, you know, to the effect that, you know, this nifaq is when your zahir is not compatible and does not reflect your batin. What you are on the outside, right, is not what you are on the inside. And that your amal, right, is not congruent with your qawl. That your actions don't match with what you say. So you talk a big talk, right? You talk a big talk. You talk a good game, but when it comes to doing it, you don't do it. Right? He said, that's a hypocrisy. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he used to say that when we were to go in front of the rulers, right? Imagine in front of the rulers, and we were to say something, and when we leave, we were to say something else. We, in our times, used to consider this hypocrisy. Right? In our time, we used to consider this hypocrisy. Allahu Akbar Kabira. As salikin, we as people who are striving to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, should be like the sun. Show one face to all. Show one face to all. Show one face to all. Right? This two-facedness that you live one life, you know, behind closed doors, and another life in front of people, right? In front of everyone else, you're the big Sufi, alim, you know, mufti, this and that, right? People say, oh, he's so righteous, look at his beard, he's so this, and then we're living a different life behind closed doors, then we should be very careful and very scared upon ourselves that we have nifaqi amali, right? And it's not something to be taken lightly. It's not something to be taken lightly. It comes in riwayat, there's different types of riwayatul munafiq thalath, and different riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delineates four different characteristics of a munafiq, right? Of a person who is a hypocrite. And so one who possesses one of these characteristics, he possesses that portion of hypocrisy, a characteristics of a hypocrite, until he leaves it. Right? And these are in Sahih Hadith, right? When talking Bukhari and Muslim, there's no like shak in the riwayah, right? That, for example, that إِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ, that when he makes a promise, then he doesn't make full on his promise. You know, and I think Imam Awza'i, rahmatullah alayhi, he says that there's two ways that this can happen. One way is that when you're telling someone, yeah, man, I'm gonna do it, right? Or yes, I'm gonna do it. At that very time where you're saying, yes, I'm gonna do it, in the back of your mind, you're already thinking, I'm not gonna do it. Right? And we usually do this with people who you don't have the strength to speak up to. So mom tells you X, Y, and Z, right? You need to be home by 10. You're thinking in the back of your mind, I'm coming home at 11. And you tell your mom, yeah, mom, I'm gonna come home by 10. Right? So you say one thing, but right from the get-go, you have a different intention. And the other type of, and Imam Awza'i, he says that a person who did this, he break his promise, right? وَأُوفُ بِالْعُقُودِ. Not only did he break his promise, but he was also a liar, right? He did double duty. And then the other person is when he makes that promise, he makes that wada with the real intention to fulfill it, but then he falls short, and that person, that's a sign of nifaq. The other sign. Right? إِذَا تُؤْمِنَ خَانَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That when he's given, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very clear, that when he's given some type of trust, he deceives others in that trust. Right? And if you want to take it, you know, very metaphorically, our bodies are our trust, our children are our trust. Those people we are in a situation of responsibility over is our trust, our life is a trust. Right? If you think of it in one sense. So are we doing khiyana in our trust? Right? Are we being deceitful and treacherous when someone entrusts us with something that we're supposed to take care of it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this life so that we could worship Him. This was a life that was supposed to be molded and shaped in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. And you take that same life and you completely distort it in such a way that it becomes in the ibadah of the dunya. Right? That's not befitting. Is that not a type of treachery? إِذَا تُؤْمِنَ خَانَ, that when they're given some type of trust, that they deceive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَةُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. If someone gives you a trust, then you should return it to them. Right? If someone gives you a trust, that you should return it to them. The next sign, وَإِذَا حَدَثَ كَذَبَ, and that when he speaks, he lies. And generally, people fall into this type of category. They fall into this type of situation when they're put in a tight spot. Because when you're in a situation of argumentation, when you're in a situation where you're about to get caught, when you're in a situation where, you know, things are tough, that's when people start making what they call white lies, right? A lie is a lie is a lie, right? Don't try to paint it white, right? By its nature, it's something which is black. And then the other sign that was mentioned in Riwaya, right, was that when he gets into an argument, fajr, he just lets loose, right? He just lets loose. If you want to really know someone's akhlaq, if you want to really know someone's character, see that their character in a situation where they're in a situation of some type of argumentation. Does a person keep their calm? Do they keep their adab? Do they keep their etiquette? All of that is an indicative, right, of their true inner metal, because that's when it comes out. The person who has a portion of nifaq within them, when they get into some type of argument, even debate, this and that, then, you know, they're very violent, right? Very violent. In fact, there's another riwayah, I believe in Bukhari, if I'm not mistaken, in which that the person who is abghad, the one who is most hateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, azza wa jal, the one who is violent and fearful, loosely translated in argumentation. Right? Aladdul khasmi. Just when he is very bitter, right? The way he, when they get into some type of fight, you don't want to be in that person's face. They hit below the belt, they use swear words, they say this, they say very hurtful things. It's not a pretty sight. Right? It's not a pretty sight. So these are some of the things that we should all look into our own lives. If we have them, one should not despair. Right, one should not despair, because Rasulullah says that he has said that the person who has one of these ayat, he has a part of hypocrisy within him until he leaves it. Right, aw kama qal, to the effect. And so the beautiful part is that if we find ourselves having any of this within us, just leave it, just rectify it. Just make the intention that that I sometimes do, so I'm gonna leave it. And inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make the intention, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq, that He makes us truly like the sun, with one face to all, whose inner and outer match, whose speech and whose actions match, and who are truly sincere for His sake alone. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.